Welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you doing today?
I am feeling like spring is here, Jeff.
Well, spring is definitely here in New Jersey today. Can't say much about the next couple days because you never know. That's what New Jersey does to you. But you're feeling spring because you just returned from property. As we know, whenever there's something going on, you are there to cover it. And you are coming off of a visit for the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot.
I am. And I will say up front, I really am going to petition Disney that I would like all of their festivals renamed.
You want to rename every festival?
I want to rename every festival because when I started in this business, I won't admit to how many years ago now at this point, all of the festivals really featured something. This was the Flower and Garden Festival. It was all about the flowers and the gardens.
Right.
And those food booths only came out during the Food and Wine Festival. Now, there's so much at every festival with these extra booths that I think they should all be renamed the Food and Alcohol, because it's not just wine. The Food and Alcohol Festival featuring flowers, or the Food and Alcohol Festival featuring the arts, or featuring the holidays, because you're going to hear that really tonight, a majority of the festival is about eating. Now, they do change up the menus for each festival. They do incorporate the theme, but there's a big focus on the food and the drink.
Well, I think they fall victim to understanding that Food and Wine was so wildly successful, right? That has to be the impetus behind it, is that that was such a well-received way of doing things that they've just found a way to sprinkle it in, or in what you're saying, dominate essentially every festival that they do going forward, that model is something that they've just continued to take and reuse.
Exactly. Those festival booths used to come out for 8 or 9 weeks a year. They do retheme them and rename them for every festival. And I don't have an exact calendar in front of me, but I will tell you that those food booths now exist about 40 weeks out of the year.
Well, it's a cheaper way of not doing a pavilion, a full pavilion, I suppose, having those booths out there.
But that's not the full experience that we're used to.
100%. I agree with that. But let's segue away from that, even though you're 100% right. And let's start to break down, I guess, when this festival takes place. We're recording this show and it will air this week. It's the beginning of March of 2022. So talk to us about when this festival runs.
So again, because we're kind of in that endemic, they went for a longer period of time for the festival. This year, it's March 3rd through July 4th. And it does typically start that first week in March, but it doesn't usually go into the summer like we're seeing it now. So it'll be interesting. They did it last year. Obviously, they're doing it this year. And we'll see how everything holds up for that length of time in the Florida heat.
You mentioned that it is, as you would rename it, the Food and Alcohol Festival featuring flowers. So let's talk about some of those things that you saw visually from the flower and garden perspective.
You bet. So there were 22 themed gardens, 24 topiary displays, and I'll talk about those more in a minute. They really encompass over 50 topiaries in total. 57 new food items or food items at the kiosks, as well as 81 unique drink items.
You say 22 garden areas. Just give us a little bit of a breakdown of what that is for anybody that doesn't know what you're talking about, hasn't been there to this festival. What does a garden area encompass?
You bet. And they're very different. So this year, they've added a lot of sponsorships to the festival, and we see that in two of the gardens that they have set up.
Okay.
So one is the Healthful Trail by Advent Health, and that includes both kids and adult opportunities. The kids have a playground, and that is one of two playgrounds that we'll find at this festival, and this trail to learn about improving your health. There's also the Fragrant Garden by Scentsy, and that is different flower smells that Scentsy sells candles or waxes in those scents. And that is created into a garden. We also have the Bambi Butterfly House, which is considered one of their gardens. But then you'll see other unique gardens. There's one that is the Spice Garden in Morocco. And there are these amazing designs out of, they're like huge balls with all different spices to decorate them. There's a bonsai garden. There's an English tea garden in the UK. Again, another sponsorship sponsored by Twinings. And there are these giant teacups that they make into planters and the surrounding areas. So the gardens really run a gamut of what they look like.
So that's an interesting approach to the whole thing. I like how you're mentioning specific countries by name. So for folks that are trying to picture the layout, would you say that they've attempted to, where possible, create these garden areas around World Showcase that are representative of the country that they're nearest?
I would say it's about a third in Future World in the front of the park and two thirds within the World Showcase. One of the things that I love for all of the festivals is when you enter the park, they do a nice little festival book. This year's book happens to be 32 pages that gives you a listing of everything you can find in the festival. I'm somebody who wants to see all the gardens and see all the topiaries since they're unique to the festival. And I find the book a little bit difficult to kind of maneuver, finding everything in order that you get to it and crossing things off. So one of the things that I created this year that our listeners might enjoy, check out the show notes. You can sign up for our Flower and Garden Gardens checklist or the topiary checklist, and you'll get a literal checklist in Google Docs that you can mark off everything as you get to it. And we've ordered it so that it's when you come into the park and then all the way around World Showcase. So if you want to see it all in order, you can. If you divide it over a couple of days, you can cross things out and know what you've seen and what's still left on your list so you know where you want to head.
The Bambi Butterfly House, it's always a really fun place to take my kids. I always have my camera ready because you never know when the moment's going to come when the butterfly lands on the kid's nose or on the kid's finger or head. Give a 30-second description as to what that is, because I say Butterfly House, and for those folks that are not familiar with it, they may have no idea what we're talking about.
You bet. It's a huge tented area that you can find right in front of Figment just after Soaring, and you go in, and it's all flowers that butterflies tend to love and live on. They actually have butterflies in their chrysalis. When I was there last year, I actually saw one of the butterflies hatching. So you can wander through the pathway and really see hundreds of different species of butterflies. So as you said, definitely a fun place to visit.
Garden Rocks is back.
Garden Rocks is back. Garden Rocks is the concert series. So every night this year, they are featuring a concert on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Tends to be a more well-known band. You can find the schedule on our Facebook page of all the upcoming artists. And then Tuesday to Thursday, they've got more of a local flair. They're focusing on local artists as well as female artists. Three free concerts nightly in the American Pavilion. And if you've been to Epcot in that pavilion before, you know it's an outdoor pavilion. So even if you can't get to the concert or you don't necessarily want to sit in a concert, you can hear it through a large portion of the World Showcase.
So you had mentioned the checklists that you had created. You know, we had always talked about these particular festivals, you know, prior to the pandemic portion of COVID happening, that there were some seminars and there were some things that you could pay for extra to go and attend and really learn some of those things that make this festival, this particular festival being Flower and Garden, unique. Are there any seminars to attend in this particular time as we're climbing out of the pandemic, or was that really the impetus behind putting together some of these checklists?
I think that's, you know, I've always made my own checklist as I get the things so that I can see it all. And I decided to share that. There are not seminars this year. However, I think we'll see them hopefully at the next festival. Little sneak peek to next week's episode. While the Flower and Garden Festival is going on in Walt Disney World, The Food and Wine Festival is going on in Disneyland, and I will be heading there later this week so that we can bring you that info on next week's show. And I am signed up for a seminar out there. So it gives me hope that we'll see them back in Florida soon, since they are in California at the moment.
I think that's probably a no-brainer. One of the things you had mentioned as far as checklists are topiaries. For folks that haven't seen these topiaries, this is not something that you're going to walk up to that's going to be knee height, right? These topiaries are massive. They're beautiful. They see a bunch of our favorite Disney characters. Were there any that you saw this year that maybe, even if you've seen them in the past, that just really struck your fancy that you encourage people to definitely go and check out?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So again, that's why it counts as one topiary display. But it is Snow White and all seven of her dwarfs, so eight topiaries in total. Really adorable, a very large one. It actually fits in two separate gardens. So check out, we've got some YouTube videos of all of the topiaries as well as the gardens. You can see them there. I also am very partial to The Lion King and loved that one. Great picture opportunities with Buzz Lightyear. There's a Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy. Over in France, there's a Cogsworth and Lumiere that I loved. It really is amazing what talent this gardening team has.
No, it's incredible. I mean, you know, you talk about, and we've had these conversations about the different holidays that they have and the things that they do with gingerbread houses and things like that. And those are all really unique and special and awesome. But the topiaries are just, for me, you know, a son of a landscaper, it's just a very different experience for me to look at and marvel at, because I know what attention to detail it takes to put something like that together. And just the creative nature behind it is really fun to see it
come
to life.
And it's not just the hours of work. You can't do this last minute.
No.
They're working on these in greenhouses backstage from the time this year's festival ends, getting the designs and everything set for next year. So it is definitely a labor of love.
But where would you say there were areas that maybe they fell short, that they failed at putting this festival together this year? Anywhere that you think they could improve?
I had a couple. I think they really, again, because of how I'd like to rename the festival, I think they worked hard to create all of these extra gardens. And as I went looking for them, there was one in particular that I had trouble finding it. And then when I found it, I was overly disappointed. It was the prehistoric garden. And it was basically four potted plants with a plastic dinosaur in each one.
Okay.
It just didn't do it for me. Again, check out our YouTube channel. You'll see it in the display there. I was a little lost on that. In China, they do these zodiacs that are amazing. Again, if you want to talk about detail, they are done with all different seeds and carefully constructed, one for each of the different zodiac symbols. And so again, like Snow White, they don't fit in one small garden. They take up two gardens. And one of the gardens is blocked off for a Mulan meet and greet area 30 minutes out of every hour. So I ended up going, but having to go back to see all the different symbols. And then when I went back, I had seen two more. And they said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to ask everybody to leave this area. Mulan is coming out. And I'm like, wow, I timed it wrong twice. So if you're into that one's going to take a little bit more timing. And then the last one, I think, I just don't necessarily understand the placement. Mexico had two gardens. And one of them was a bamboo garden. And the second was the most gorgeous orchid garden that you've ever seen. And the gardens themselves were on a path that is the handicap accessible pathway into the Mexican pavilion. So nobody really belongs on that pathway unless they need access that way. And it really kind of clogged things up for people and trying to figure out who was waiting to get into the pavilion versus who was eyeing up the flowers versus who was looking for some shade.
Right.
So maybe because that one's a little bit more off the beaten path, if there was nowhere else to put it, I think it should have had some different signage, because finding it was not easy. And it definitely was one that you didn't want to miss.
You have mentioned that you think it should be renamed the festival. So let's talk about the food options, right? That obviously we mentioned that the kiosks that are out there for food and wine and for other things are, some of them are still present, been played with a little bit as far as their theming goes, but give us the breakdown as far as the food options.
So there are 19 outdoor kitchens. One of them, the Epcot Farmer's Feast, they've done it with three different seasons to it. So about every 6 weeks, the menu at that particular kiosk will change. So that's a little bit unique.
What about specifically? Talk to me about any of the things that you saw food-wise that you definitely loved and would recommend.
I have to say, when you look at that list, it's really hard to narrow it down. If I could, I think I'd eat probably about 50 of the 57. And the only reason I wouldn't do the other seven is I'm not a seafood person.
Okay,
but
I am.
Out of my realm here, I went for a play on seafood in Japan, and I had their fushi, which was a fruit version of sushi. And normally I'm a little funny. I've tried like Cowfish, who does hamburger sushi. It was not a win with me. The fushi was awesome. Little bites with pineapple and rice and a sweet kind of seaweed wrap.
Interesting.
I did a lot of the sweets. As I said, the desserts were a real deal. Over in the Canada Pavilion, I had griddled maple pound cake.
Oh, God.
And so it was a nicely grilled pound cake. It's about 80 degrees during the day now. So it's served with a scoop of ice cream and topped with a peach compote and their maple popcorn. So that one was definitely a win. The Honey Bistro, I'm not a honey person normally, but I have to say every item they served is a total win. Their honey mascarpone cheesecake is not to be missed. Their flatbread was great. You know, it's hard not to love a lot of the things they serve. The one dish that did surprise me, again, my big dessert kick here, over in America, they had a pecan praline that I could probably eat six of a day. But it was the only thing that I've ever gotten at the festival food-wise that wasn't plated and served. It was clearly made there and prepackaged with the big sticker that said it was their pecan praline from the Magnolia Terrace. But I know that it wasn't made off-site because it wasn't packaged with an ingredient list. But definitely worth a try. Super sweet. So go for one of those. And it's a great shareable item, as are many of the treats.
So it sounds like if you had to recommend an area for your palate, sweet was definitely the way to go for you than this particular visit.
It definitely was. And it was a more budget-friendly way to go. Those of you that are looking to experience the festival, but keep your costs down. So many amazing choices. As I said, there's 57 food items that are part of this festival. I definitely tried a few. And again, don't get your hopes up too high. You will see the Disney Dining Plan graphic on all of the signage, which makes us think it's coming back any day now. But if you go back to our episodes from about a year ago, they've had those on the signs since reopening. It does not indicate that it's coming back any day. But again, look at what you want to do. I really think that a lot of the desserts at these venues were pretty inexpensive. Most of the desserts were $4.50 to $6. And then a lot of the foods, we've talked about what a value they are in the dining plan, but I saw a lot more with lower price items. And I think that may be that they did slightly smaller portions because there is no dining plan. A lot of food items that were $6, $7, $8 as opposed to the $9 to $12 that we saw in the past.
But I think that's an important distinction, right? If you've been to this festival before and you're getting a smaller portion, are you saying that the price is reflective of that?
I think it is. And again, I've talked in many episodes that I'm a visual eater. It is super easy to go towards the pickup area if you're a visual eater, or you want to look at the portion and see how shareable it is, to see it being picked up before you order so you can make a decision for yourselves.
One of the things that we know that you have a penchant for is the merchandising that these things bring to the table, pun very much intended. Talk to us about what kind of merchandise options there were for this festival.
It's Disney, so there's definitely no merchandise shortage. There was everything from custom Dooney bags to plates and gardening utensils and sweatshirts and bags, anything you could want, and conveniently spread out at lots of different locations.
Anything we haven't covered about this particular festival?
I think one of the big things to keep in mind is Epcot is starting to get longer hours. When I was there, it opened at 8:30 and 8 a.m. for those on-site guests. And the food booths don't open until 10:30. So if you're going just for the food, don't necessarily think you can go right away, because some of the items definitely could be a breakfast. One of my favorite that I went for at the Sunshine Griddle was a cinnamon roll bite. That was a fried dough filled with a cream cheese frosting, topped with the cream cheese frosting, as well as candied bacon.
My goodness.
Amazing. Perfect breakfast, except they weren't open at breakfast time. So keep that in mind. And again, the festival booths, you will find that the festival itself is less crowded on weekdays. In the evening, especially on the weekend, the lines can be long at the food booths, but I do find it very hit or miss. I would go to get on a line, and sometimes I could be second or third. Sometimes I could be number 20. And if I was number 20, quite frankly, I didn't wait. I went and I took some pictures in the pavilion and I came back, and often then I was number 5 through 7. So, you know, use your time wisely. Don't be totally turned off by the lines. They're really working to keep them moving.
Well, Sandy, as we say every time, you were there for as this festival dropped, because that's what you do. And the next episode, as you alluded to, you are headed out to the West Coast to see their food and wine festival. So we're going to have back-to-back shows here for you filled with culinary excellence. Thanks for taking the time tonight to explain the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot.
My pleasure. Have a great night.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share on your Facebook and Instagram for other Disney fans to enjoy. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.